And the word says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was alone there. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we just praise you and honor you and thank you, Lord God, that you sending people back to church after this 2 years of this corona mess, Lord. And Father, just pray that we just have a thank you for the service thus far, Lord God, and God, the songs that we sing, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would open our hearts right now and forget about yesterday, forget about this afternoon. Think about your life and where you're at with God, where they are at with God, with you. And Lord, as I come again to open up your word and Father, to answer your call to preach the gospel, Lord, I pray that I do it for your honor and for your glory, Lord God, and I just stand back and get out of the way. Father, we invite your precious spirit into this place to move on the hearts of your people. And God, we give you the praise. And Father, we pray this morning for our country, pray for our military, pray for America, Lord God. And we just give you the praise and give you the honor and give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew. Well, I said 16, didn't I? 14, Matthew 14, 23, I'm sorry. The Lord had me going from Genesis to Joel to Matthew to... I'm sorry. Somebody needs to get a rubber band and just shoot it at me when I... On Wednesday night, we're going through John, and I say James or something every Wednesday night. But anyway, I'm just going to cover two verses probably. Verse 22, Matthew 14, 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now, Jesus had just got through feeding 5,000 men, women, and children. There were 5,000 of them that the Bible says were men. The rest of them were women and children. And what the Lord has led me to talk about today is devotional, prayer time, studying God's Word. And Jesus himself gives us a great example here in just verse 23. And it says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up the mountain. Now, he sent the multitude away, and he sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee in a boat. He wanted everybody to get away and leave him alone where he could go and speak to his Heavenly Father. And I want to tell you something. That is the most important thing that you and I can do. We live in a world of TV, email, telephone, Facebook, FaceTime, FaceSmile, all that stuff. We are constantly looking at that. I wrote a devotional a couple weeks ago, and it was about this, and I mentioned, I bet you're looking at your telephone right now. And I probably 95% of you had your telephone in your hand. Jesus took time away from everything that his Father had sent him to do. He sent a multitude of 5,000 people away. He sent his disciples away. And the word says he went up on a mountain by himself. He went up there by himself. He didn't take anybody with him. He didn't take the telephone with him. He didn't take anything. He didn't take something to eat. He didn't take something to drink. He went up the mountain by himself to be by himself with his Father. I want to tell you something. Let's stop. There is nothing. I can preach everything here. Jesus loves you. Salvation. I'm not talking about salvation this morning. I'm talking about growing a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have used this example many, many times. And I'll use it again, and men, you can understand it. Women, you can understand it. When you met your spouse, or if you've got a boyfriend or girlfriend now, that you're pretty serious about, you want to be with that person all the time, right? You do, even I've been married 48 years and I still want to be with Joanna. I can't imagine doing what my friend had to do the other day when his wife died. I can't imagine that because I love her. With all my heart, I love her. And that is what you and I are supposed to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on that cross at Calvary. He gave his last blood. He arose from the dead. He done that so that you, or he did that so that you and I would be saved. And he wanted you and I to build a relationship with him. And people, we have got to, you can't come to church every Sunday and depend on me. Most of the time I preach nothing but salvation. But you have got to get into God's Word yourself. And we live in a time that people have got away from, they depend on the preacher. They depend on everything else but God to get them closer to him. When John and I met, I wore a 1960-something, what was it? I wore a Ford pickup completely out going back and forth from Huntsville to Bel Air in Houston, Texas. Every time I had a chance, I would go down there. And let me tell you something. I went down on the weekend, and it wasn't no staying at her house. It wasn't no shacking up back then. I had to come home or get me a hotel room. Her daddy wasn't going to put up with that. But I loved her enough that I would drive down there and stay with her at 11 o'clock and come back to Huntsville and go back the next morning. That the same thing is true with, you know, just think about your wife when y'all were going together. What did you do? You want to be with her all the time. We're supposed to love Jesus Christ more than anything. And people, the only way that you're going to build a relationship with Jesus Christ is that you be with him. And how do you do that? You do that by spending, Jesus set the example himself. He said, he sent the multitude away. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He sent everybody away. In other words, he said he had a time that he shut everybody else off, and you and I should have a time where we cut the TV off, cut the cell phone off, hide it in a box, put it somewhere, and put everything that you got away and pick up God's Word and read it and pray and just praise God. A lot of y'all might do it. I get a devotional. Since 1982, I buy a devotional every year. Joanna buys me one for Christmas. And this devotional has got pages in it. Every day of the week, I go through this from the first. This is this year's. I read it every day. I pray to God. I read the verse in it. I write scriptures or write prayers to God every day of my life. And I'm not saying, and I'm far from perfect. I'm not preaching me this morning. I'm just telling you what you need to do. You need to set aside a time that you get with Jesus. Go to the book of John. Just sit down somewhere and get in a quiet place and read John. Pray. Say a prayer to God. You say, I just don't have time. You have to make time. When I started this in 1982, 84, whenever it was, I was working at the prison. I had people work for me. I had hundreds of convicts under me. I tried to be at the office early every morning, 6:30, and I would get up at 5 o'clock and go downstairs and read and pray and study God's Word. And that's what Jesus wants. That's what we need to do. If I hadn't went to see Joanna a lot, been with her, we never would have married. We never would have built a relationship where I wanted to ask her to marry me. We are to get close to Jesus Christ. He is to be number one in our life. I always said, is Jesus and my family in the church, or Jesus the church and my family? That is what we have to do. And if Jesus Christ himself went up that mountain to be by himself, and he said, again, he went up the mountain, he sent the people away by himself to pray. And in the last of that verse right there, it says he was alone there. He was alone. You cannot be there and have a thousand distractions. In other words, I tell Joanna, in the morning when I write the devotional that I send out to y'all, read that. How many of you are reading that? Sometimes I wonder. I sit there for an hour and a half in the morning sometimes writing that, and I send it out, and there's a prayer list attached to that, and I'll come to church on Wednesday night and say something about, in the prayer meeting, to say something about, just for example, Wayne's in the hospital. What? Or they'll, how so? It's on your prayer list. That tells me right away that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You ain't got to read what I put out. That's okay. But you need to read what Jesus put out. He said that he sent those 5,000 men, women, and children away. The 5,000 men plus the children and the women. He sent them away. He sent the disciples away. And then he went up on this mountain and he prayed to God. By himself. By himself. Now, say, what do we have here? I've had people ask me about Sunday school classes and stuff. We have Sunday school class for every group. We have Wednesday night. We have Awanas for all the kids, for the teenagers, and we have a Bible study. And we have a good time in that Bible study. It's not where I just sit there and talk. It is where everybody puts input in it. And we study God's Word. And you get, regardless, those that come can tell you, you get a joy from being in there. From doing. We sit right here. And you can come on Wednesday night. We have Sunday school. I'm not fussing. I'm glad this church house full, okay? God is fussing. We have Sunday school every Sunday morning. Where you learn about Jesus Christ is in Bible study on Wednesday night, Sunday school, Awanas, the kids learn about Jesus and Awanas and their children's church. We have all of that here. What else do we have? Also, men. Every first Saturday of every month, we have a Bible study, a prayer breakfast, and a Bible study. You can come to that. It's for all the men. It's 8 o'clock every Saturday morning, the first Saturday of the month. And we have a good time, 15 or 16 there. Yesterday, we had a great time. We have all this stuff, and last but not least, at this church, we have, on the first Tuesday night of every month, the 300 Bible study that Brother John started. He's had as many as 30 people coming, and they just sit down and study God's Word. But first and foremost, Jesus Christ wants us to get close to Him. You see, what I'm trying to say, what God is trying to say to us this morning, without loving Him, how can you live for Him? How can you devote your life to somebody that you spend 30 minutes a week with? You know, and you got to get in God's Word. You got to pray. You can't just, you know, we live in a world, everything is fast service. Everything. Everything is just, you got it and it's done and it's through. And I'm afraid that's the way a lot of us look at church. We want to get here, we want to get through and go home. We got a revival coming up. You knew I was going to put that in. We got a revival coming up, the 19th. We'll have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. If you want to get closer to God, come to the revival. And just fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the church and listen to Brother Cherry, listen to God's Word. And I promise you, when it's over, that Wednesday night, we're always wishing it'd be a couple more days because it seems like every night it builds up speed. That's the way the church needs to be. That's the way God intended it to be. He wanted us to invite people that were hurt, that were hurting in their life, that were lost, that didn't know Jesus Christ. He wanted us to bring them to church where we could build them up. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Go, tell people, invite people. Are we doing that? Are you doing that? You're the only one that can. You're the only one that can answer that question. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, raise your hand if you're having a Bible study. I just ask you this, and just go over to you. Are you praying every day? Are you reading God's Word every day? Or do you rush out, get up, grab something to eat, jump in a car and go to work and say, Lord, bless this day? Well, that's okay. At least you ask Him. But God wants us to get somewhere and get with Him and study His Word and read His Word and let it soak in. You don't have to read the whole Bible. Read one verse. We're talking about one verse this morning. Read it. See what it says. Jesus said that He sent all them people away and He went to be alone with His Father to pray. There is no way in the world that you can go and be alone with Jesus Christ with everything in the house going on. And believe me, the old devil is going to tempt you. It don't make any difference what it is. I sit there in the morning, I get up, I get in my recliner, I make my coffee, I get all my books, and my cat gets in my lap, and I sit there, and I start to write the devotional. And the first thing happened, my mind, the devil, starts, turn the TV on, see what happened last night. The devil is going to tempt you to do everything but do what the Lord wants you to do. The phone's going to ring if you don't cut it off. It's going to ring. He's going to do everything he can to get you away from God because he wants you to be infiltrated with all the stuff that's going on in the world. She tells me sometimes, this happened. I said, I don't care. Let it rip. Let it rip. I don't care if Jesus, I wish he'd come home and right now. I don't care. I'm not worried about this world. Jesus said he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us. He has got us. He got us in his hand and we don't have to worry. But you have to build that relationship with him. Do you get up in the morning wanting to get with God? Or is that you think about him when something happens? If you build a relationship with Jesus Christ, when your eyes pop open in the middle of the night, first thing you're going to do is say, Lord, you're going to talk to him. If you build a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to want to come to church. You're going to want to do what it is that God wants you to do, whatever that might be. If you build a relationship with Jesus Christ when you get up in the morning, let me change back to this. And please don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I am not perfect. I'm just telling you what I have went through in my life and what I have got going. And I'm not perfect. I'll do all this and you're still going to fail. But the thing about it is, you got Jesus. He's with you. So, I get ready for bed at night, I get my coffee ready where I'm turned on the next morning, and I get ready. I can't wait to wake up to meet Jesus. That's the honest to God truth. I cannot wait to get up and be with Christ. Just that time alone before my day starts. And some days, I do it and the day falls apart. Some days, most of the time I do it and God just blesses, just continues to bless. But you have to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's kind of like, I know one way to put it is, before I started losing all this weight, I love sweets. All right? I love Snicker bars. I didn't get them little bitty Snicker bars. I got them big ones. And I wanted one. And I get in the truck. I wouldn't eat them at home. I'd wait till I was in the truck going to the hospital, get some of it. I'd stop and get me one of the Coke, you know. I wanted that. I wanted it so bad. That's the way that you need to want Jesus Christ. Like you want that piece of chocolate cake. Like you want a Coke, like you want a drink of beer, whatever it is. Smoke a cigarette, whatever it is you want to do, dip a snuff. You want Jesus more than you want that. And when you get to that, you thought I was going to say you got it made. No, you ain't got it made. It's discipline, 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 discipline. The walk with Jesus Christ is discipline. You have to. Jesus is already, I'm not talking this morning about salvation. I'm talking to those of you that have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, and you call me during the week and say, I just don't know. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why this happened. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why my world is chaos. I just don't understand. I come to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes. I'm doing everything that I... But you're not taking time to be alone with Jesus Christ. Prayer and Bible study. I could ask you to stand up in this church, and I know several of you that do that every day. And you're the only ones that can relate to what I'm saying, because you know that you can't wait to get up and be with Jesus. You can't wait to come to church. Yeah, you might think, I don't want to come to church the whole week at night, every night, and I got this to do. You got to discipline yourself. And hey, this is just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. That's it. And it's over with. But it will help you grow close to God. It will help you change your life. If you want to, you know, sometimes people call me like that, and I say, what else can I do? Lord, what else can I do? But tell them about you. You have got to get in that habit of picking up. This book is the main one. But if you will get some of this stuff, this is, I don't even know who it's by. David Jeremiah. Yeah, David Jeremiah. And it's just different places, different scriptures, and he explains that scripture and gives illustrations of it every day. We get, I think we still get it, the little prayer morning devotional we get, guidepost. They're back there in the foyer. Pick one of them up. That's a good place to start. You don't have to spend an hour and a half. I know that I get to get 2 or 3 hours in the morning when I don't have anything going on. I know a lot of y'all work, and a lot of y'all got others. This is my job. I realize that. But it is also your job as a Christian to do what it is that God tells you to do. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took time out and sent the disciples away, then you need to take time out to be with him. And when you do that, then you will start to develop that love, that relationship, just like you did with the man or woman that you're with right now. You have to build a relationship, and don't tell me you build a relationship by just walking up to... I didn't walk up to Johnny that night in 1925 or whenever it was and say, I love you and I want to marry you. 1974, I think. yeah. I didn't just say I love you, I don't get married. You can accept Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, I love you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. But you got to build that relationship. He comes into your heart and he wipes away all of that. He cleans you up. And don't think it like the TV preachers, when you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that he's going to just all of a sudden just, you're going to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect until you get in heaven. You're going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your face, but he is there and he will take you. I like the story of the clay and the potter in the Bible. The potter's floor. He got this piece of clay, and that's you. And he is spinning on that potter's wheel, and he finds a rock in it. He pulls that rock out and throws it down and balls it back up, and here he goes again. And that's the way he does you and I. I used to do all those things and still got things I do that God shows me. You'll never be perfect. He will clean you every day of your life. But believe me, he will take something from you, and he will show you this is the area of your life you need to clean up. And if you say, yes, Lord, he'll clean it up, whatever it is. And he will build you, and he will build you up. But people, we have to take time. You say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And I'm sure he's saying, do you really love me? Do you really love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed the lambs. If you love me, you know, if you love me, then prove to me that you love me. And when you prove to me that you love me, then I will bless you. And I'm not talking about, like I say all the time, you don't accept the Lord and expect to go home and everything's taken care of and you're perfect. I'm perfect now. I do what I want to. No, that's not it. It is a constant, everyday battle. Every day. But the problem is, the thing of it is, not the problem, that you have somebody to fight that fight with you. Can't do it on your own. Told y'all a million times about my tobacco habit. You can't do it on your own. And it may be okay. Me and Brother John was talking about yesterday morning was cooking breakfast. It's some people can get away with dipping stuff. Some people can get away with smoking. Some people can get away with drinking a beer every once in a while. Some people can. But the Lord wouldn't let me. He showed me. And every time I put one up to my mouth, you ain't supposed to be doing that. You're an example. People are looking at you. And finally, I wised up. And as you obey God and you have these morning devotions, if you have a time to meet with God and you do that every day of your life, you're going to miss some. Nobody's perfect. Yesterday morning, I was so busy, had to get up at 6 o'clock and be over here to cook breakfast, and then I had a funeral after that, and then I had to get ready for the day. I didn't do it yesterday morning, but you know what? When I got home last night, I did. You got to be steady. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save your life. Doctor so-and-so gives you a pill because you have blood pressure. You believe that doctor and that medicine he gave you going to make your blood pressure go down or up, whatever it is? You're going to take that blood pressure medicine every morning. You're not going to miss. Oh, Lord, I forgot my blood pressure. You're going to turn around and go back. But we will get up on Sunday morning and stay home and say, oh, Lord, I don't believe I'm going to go to church this morning. And you are messing with what bills are. You're messing with eternal life. You're messing with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're the most important relationship that you will ever have is with Jesus Christ. He come that we would all be home with him one day. Lord, lead me to another scripture. Y'all hold on. I know you're here, brother. Job. I knew he was going to lead me back to Job before it's over. Joel, J-O-E-L, 2:13. This is what you got to do. You got to, it says, so rend your heart. So get rid of all that stuff that is in your life that is causing you to miss church, to get away from church, to get away from the Bible. Rend your heart and not your garment. What he's saying? He's saying that your heart is more important to you than washing your clothes. Your heart is more important to you than taking that heart medicine. Your heart is more important to you than anything that you can do. He says, the Bible says, and Joel says in the first of this book, he says, hear this. Hear this word of God. This is all the things that can happen to you. And he said, so render your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. People, Jesus Christ loves you. And I don't care what your problem is this morning. You can give your heart to Jesus Christ. I told people at a funeral yesterday, I preached a funeral of a guy probably never been to church in his life. And I'll tell you, there's a difference in church and salvation. What in the world are you talking about? You see, the most important thing that you could do in your life is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then he will lead you to a church that you like, that got good Bible studies, that preaching the Bible. He will lead you to that, and then you go to church. But you know the most important thing? It is more important to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, than this. I told them people yesterday, don't get confused. I'm not talking about going to church every Sunday. What I'm talking about is salvation, is knowing Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And if you get your dominoes in a row, if you get everything in line, Jesus Christ, accepting him comes first, and then you go to church. And let me tell you something. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to quit nothing you're doing. What you got to do is come to church. He said, don't even worry about washing your clothes. He said, come to me. Come to me. Come to me, ye that are weary and heavy laden. I know the world is eat up with all the things that's going on in this world. I can't even make the list. It'd be big as the old Christmas Sears catalog of the things that's going on in this world. That's okay. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and he is going to take you, whether he takes you by the rapture of the church or whether your heart stops beating and you die, you're going to meet Jesus Christ. And the most important things you can do is have a relationship with him. Take time in your day. I don't have time. If you got to be at work at 8 o'clock and you get up normally at 6 o'clock to get ready, get up at 5 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, get ready. Spend that hour with Jesus Christ. We get away from stuff like that. We quit doing stuff like that. We put Jesus completely out of the picture until something happens. Lord, help me. And he, thank God, he's God. He will help you. But if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you got to build that relationship. You got to give yourself to Jesus Christ. And you got to do what he says do. And number one of all, you got to put him number one in your life. If he is not number one in your life's not going to amount to much. Plain and simple. When I quit them Snicker bars, I've lost 147 pounds. Just quit. Discipline. Discipline yourself to read God's word. To get on your knees in prayer. Pray. Give it to God. When a bad thing comes on the TV, say, Lord, you got it. Amen. And go on. Instead of letting your blood pressure get up. You know what we do? That's another example. We see something on the TV and our blood pressure gets up. We run and get a pill. Run to Jesus.
Amen.
Run to Jesus Christ. Father God, I come to you this morning and I praise you and I honor you and I love you. And God, I know, like the Apostle Paul, I am nothing. I am the least of all, Lord God. But God, thank you that you saved my life, Lord, that you come into my heart. God, that I don't fear this world. I don't fear death because I know you have conquered death. I don't fear any of the things that the devil throws my way every day because I know that you got it. And God, I pray that every Christian here would take time, that they would listen, not to what I'm doing, but what they need to do and get close to you, Lord. I pray, God, if there's one in here that doesn't know you, God, that they would just say a simple prayer. Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you arose from that grave. I believe that you walked among people. I believe that you ascended into heaven, that you're going to come back and receive me. And God, I just want to live the rest of my life the best that I can for you. And God, help them to understand that they can do nothing. It's only by the blood. And Father, I give you praise. I give you honor and I give you glory, Lord. And I pray that as we stand all over this building, Lord God, everybody stand to their feet. As we listen to this hymn of invitation, Lord God, that whatever that that pull or tug on the heart is right now, God, that people would answer that call and they'd come forward, Lord God, and God, if they're too embarrassed to come forward, if they'd just receive you right where they're at, Lord God. I pray right now that you move on this congregation, Lord God, and you touch these people. In your precious name we pray. Amen to God. Thank you.